And there we go. We're a lot more proactive in how we approach risk and insurance, in that we really turn the tables on the things that the carriers are providing, and then we make them our own. We make services to have a better grasp of, you know, what the impact that you're having on your claims and loss experience and all that stuff. And all we know is it kind of comes back to the emotional and physical well-being of your staff. Also, just personal note, I have three teenage girls, so just getting a moment to speak uninterrupted for a few minutes here is a blessing in itself, so thank you very much. I'm sure all of you guys have websites at your community, and I'm curious if you think about those websites and think of the stock photos, or actually if you're using real personal photos from your community, how many folks there are all smiling and happy and all have their teeth and enjoying life, and that's our goal. But we know the reality is being a caregiver is physically and emotionally taxing. Here at Graham, we've calculated the physical demands as a measure of pounds lifted per shift. So if an average resident weighs around 150 pounds and a caregiver provides monitor assistance to lift or reposition, transfer, or sliding up or down in a bed four times in an assignment for about eight residents per shift, right there she's lifted over a ton of weight. And that's over the course of just one shift. And on top of that, it's in a no-lift facility. We know that many more residents weigh a lot more than 150 pounds, too. And while many caregivers feel that the more you're lifting, the stronger they're getting, actually the opposite is true. It's similar to being almost like a major league pitcher. Repetition puts that caregiver at a greater risk for injury due to muscle fatigue, since the caregivers who are working full-time are unable to allow the muscles to rest and recuperate. And the way we view it, obviously always turning it back into the insurance standpoint, is with injuries, there comes more work comp claims. And with more work comp claims comes poor loss experience for the community. And with poor loss experience for the community, that's going to result in higher premiums being coming down from the insurance carriers, as well as increased scrutiny from government inspections and stuff like that, as well as just more disgruntled residents that were looking around and seeing the staff were just are getting weighed down just by the physical aspects of their job. On top of that, the physical stuff, we're also focusing on the emotional and psychological stress of team conflict, issues with work-life balance, demands of residents and their families. Are you, as the heads of those caregivers, vigilant of your staff, identifying any of those alarming ticks or quote-unquote red flag traits in your employee base to address them sooner than later so that they don't trickle into the folks that you're serving? And then finally, another confounding factor is that the workforce, along with our resident population, is aging. The average age of our caregivers nowadays is well over 40 years old. And we all know that our 40-year-old bodies just can't perform like we did in our 20s. But how often are we ignoring that voice in our head that's telling us just to slow down, take a break, take a breath? How often are we doing that, not just for us, but for our staff as well? We know that demands of the job require that the caregivers first must care for themselves. And as busy as those exhausted caregivers are, they're not getting the adequate sleep that they need. They're not eating the healthy, balanced meals that they need. They're not maintaining a healthy weight or getting regular aerobic cardiovascular exercise. Plus, on top of that, many of the employers are actually just not taking advantage of wellness or other benefit incentive-driven reward programs that would help keep employees stay in better shape, both physically and mentally. It's almost like the cobbler's shoeless children. Caregivers in the health and human service industry often don't take the time out for themselves to get the regular physicals and the medical care to treat those chronic diseases. And that's the problem there is that the employers aren't really supplementing it either. We all know that there's stuff within our benefits programs or within the community, people who really can help us and make a better impact on making us healthier, which then is going to trickle down into our staff and then as well as to the residents. And we see that a lot of times that's just not the case because of just how crazy our schedules are. So as a result, we have caregivers who endure physical and emotional stresses at work, who don't have good health or promotional health habits, which leads them to be a high risk for work-related injuries and other injuries that the caregiver, either knowingly or unknowingly, may attribute to a work condition. And these injuries affect the organization's work comp costs, workers' compensation costs, but it also affects the continuity of care that's provided to the residents as well as the morale of the team. So the question then comes down to what, as you as a provider, you as the senior staff can do to help? Well, some of the things that we do at Graham with our clients is that we make sure that there are safe resident handling protocols in place. You might have them. I'm not saying you're doing it right or wrong, but when's the last time that someone championed that effort to blow the dust off those protocols and really evaluated if they are actually having an impact on what you're doing on a day-to-day basis? How often are you tapping into your broker to utilize the insurance carrier's resources? That work comp carrier, more often than not, has loss control that's baked into what they're providing so that they can come out and provide services, training regimens, educational sessions for your staff on things such as safe resident handling. Lean on your broker as well to really tap into those loss prevention strategies so that you can implement them not just in a 3, 6, even 12-month period, but an annual period where you're always circling back and just touching the file and making sure that you're doing something, and is that something having an actual impact? Are you purchasing and updating enough equipment, lifts, slings, transfer sheets? We all know that the bottom line is the key here, and a lot of times organizations just don't have the capital to be able to go out and get thorough equipment, but is the equipment that's being used right now out in the field actually working, and are people using it properly? And if you take the time to go through the process of teaching your staff about how to properly utilize the equipment, that's the key. Finally, educating your staff on injury prevention. And it's not something that just happens once or once every 6 months or once every year. This is a continual rewards program where you're incentivizing your employees to make sure that they become not just aware for themselves, but aware for the community from a risk management standpoint. So beyond that, I have just a quick list of practices that our clients have implemented and demonstrated a reduction in workers' compensation costs. So first of all, one of the keys that we did with one of our communities up in New Jersey is we had physical therapy create a poster or a tutorial session of simple stretches that the caregivers could practice at the beginning and end of the shift during their report. So in other words, there was almost a circle meeting, daily affirmation, where the report, everyone showed up and got around in a circle, and everyone checked in with each other, did a little stretch and flex, lifting our arms up, moving our shoulders around, and everyone was looking around and making sure, did anyone wince? Was everyone showing just sort of some pain maybe in a certain area or body part? And if you see it, call it out and have a conversation that's not causes somebody to have a defense up. Just come up and say, hey, how are you feeling? It looks like you lifted up your shoulder and you winced a little bit. Everything doing okay? And what that's doing is not only building the rapport from a physical, personal standpoint, but it's also bookending the potential for any workers' compensation claim that would come up later on. So if you're checking with your staff before and after the shift, you're essentially creating just that time period window where any work comp-related injury could occur. Second, we always are pushing to review claims experience. And what I mean by that is when a work comp claim is filed, that's going to go up to the carrier, and the lost experience sheet or data is going to be outputted from that. And what we do from time to time is we'll be utilizing those claims, that loss history, to identify the specific areas to hone in on from a educational or training session standpoint. I'd spoken earlier about how the carriers sometimes bring that safe patient handling regimen to the organization as part of the program that they're providing from workers' compensation standpoint. So a lot of times what we'll do is we'll review the loss experience, and instead of saying, we'll take it all, we're going to do all the sessions, a lot of times we hone in on that and identify that one bad area is really driving a lot of majority of the work comp claims. A lot of times lately we've seen backs and shoulders as a result of resident interaction as a place that really needs assistance from a training standpoint. So utilize your own loss experience to identify where you think you can have a much better impact, a greater impact on your staff as far as mitigating potential for work-related injuries. Third, you want to make sure that you promote wellness at work. Your employee benefits program, your medical health plans, your human resources department should be considering implementing innovative wellness programs, and those can come through the employee benefits platform. So work with your broker, work with your partners to establish a wellness program that actually has an impact on the day-to-day activities of your employees. serve healthy meal options in your cafeteria, in your snack machines, in your dining rooms. A lot of times we'll come in and we'll see that even the snack machines have just a whole bunch of junk in them. And by flipping that around and actually putting some healthy stuff in there, it actually does have an impact on not only just the physical well-being, but the mental well-being of your employee staff. Within that, you also want to be educating everyone about adequate sleep, good nutrition, continually talking about that. And then more importantly, it's ensuring that the folks who are working on your team are getting the breaks, the rest, just a quick walk around that they need to decrease the stress that inevitably comes up during the shifts when they're interacting with their residents. And then finally, supporting the emotional health of your employees. You want to be providing education through an employee assistance program, such as conflict resolution, bereavement, counseling. We're all very good when we deal with our residents within our community. The key here is that you want to almost treat your employee as one of those residents from time to time and really put on that psychologist hat where you want to make sure that you're tapping into their emotional well-being, making sure that everything's okay, not just at work, but at home and elsewhere. Foster a teamwork environment with team-building activities that reflect on the mission of the organization. Utilize your resources and put the team together to really have an impact on the emotional well-being of your staff. Again, this is not something that's going to be happening overnight. It's not an immediate fix. It takes time, and it requires a champion or champions from within the organization to push these efforts forward. But what we found is that over a year, two, three, the clients of ours who are actually following through with the suggestions that we're making on things like this matter, where we're going into the work comp related aspects, injuries, both physically and mentally, we really are having an impact on the total cost of risk that they're paying. And we found that when organizations who've built that foundation for employee safety with education and equipment and exercise that persistence and patience, working in tandem with the proactivity of their partners, be it their broker, their carrier, they go beyond what anyone else is doing and implement measures that really invest in their employees' health. And that's what leads them to being healthy, happy, and terrific. And yes, it is a cliched or corny title, but at the same time, it's something that we all need to bring to the table on a daily basis. It's that positive energy that really does have an impact on the folks who are looking up to you for direction on how to really best apply their services at the organization level. So thank you again. I really appreciate you being able to jump on the line. If anyone has any questions about anything specific that was brought up here, I'm more than happy to address it either now or offline, if you prefer.
I am going and unmuting everybody's line. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask them now if you would like to. Are there any questions right now? Okay. Well, thank you all for joining us this morning for Tuesday Stand Up to talk about keeping your staff healthy, happy, and terrific, what you can do to prevent injuries and burnout. And thank you, Rafael Hashinsky from the Graham Company. And Brian.
Thank you, Deborah. Appreciate the time.